Hey, everybody.
Hey, we're here.
I always pick the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Pick the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
That's your intro.
That's my intro. Every week is the wrong one.
Well, guess what? They're trying to push me out of the race. No! Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I'm staying in the race.
President Biden has officially ended his presidential campaign.
Vice President Kamala Harris walking into campaign headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware, where the signs posted on the wall now bear her name.
Things are looking insane right now, and I just want to look away, and it feels like the Godfather 3.
It is.
Where
it is the Godfather 3.
I keep trying to get out, and they keep trying to pull me back in. I keep being done, and they're like, something else.
This whole thing has turned into entertainment for people.
I don't think it's that entertaining. I think it's creepy.
I think it's creepy, too. I'm saying, but the way people are watching it is the way you would watch a WWE wrestling match, which actually we just had Hulk Hogan at the RNC. So it basically is. It's basically
a
idiocracy.
We're in the wrestling match, yeah.
So,
but they're doing the surprise twist ending, like secret entrance contender thing.
But don't most people agree that Godfather 3 sucked?
That is not the point. The
not
meme
the point.
Stands
okay.
On its own.
Don't look around. Keep your eyes shut.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
In the interest of keeping you apprised of every detail about this fast-moving election, we want to show you live images of Vice President Harris right now. She's traveling from Joint Base Andrews to Wilmington, Delaware. She's expected to meet with campaign workers at what had previously been the headquarters for the Biden-Harris re-election campaign.
We were wondering today, we were having a conversation and wondering how many Americans out there know enough presidential history to remember that Woodrow Wilson, President Wilson, actually suffered a stroke during his second term as president in 1919. And it was his wife, First Lady Edith Wilson, who ended up unofficially running the country in his stead. I didn't even know about that till you, I think you told me years ago about that. I didn't even know about that till you told me.
Yeah, I mean, it's really creepy for a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, like many presidents, Wilson very clearly had shadow advisors or shadow controllers working behind the scenes. Colonel Edward House is really well known as the sort of shadow puppet master for Wilson, who helped bring in the Federal Reserve Act, the League of Nations deal, and all kinds of other things that were going on at the time. And on top of that, you have this constitutional issue of pretending everything is fine with the president when it isn't, and then unconstitutionally continuing the administration. And that's a huge problem. Yes, of course, have sympathy for the person who's in the highest office. Treat them with respect. Give them the benefit of the doubt and the dignity after they leave office. It's not okay to just stay in office and pretend you're fine when you're not.
Stay in power.
Grave national affairs are in need of his attention. The most alarming reports have been circulated concerning Mr. Wilson's condition. One now most prominent being that he has suffered an attack of facial paralysis that is yielding to treatment very slowly, and he may never be able to resume the duties of office. The physicians attending the president have not taken the people nor the Congress into their confidence. Their bulletins have been of the most meager and unsatisfactory kind, have left the nation almost as much in the dark as if they had not issued them. The Congress and the public is entitled to know just how seriously ill the president may be. The Constitution is very clear on this point. It says that in case of the death or disability of the president, the vice president shall, not may, act in his stead.
You know, that is unconstitutional. And, you know, I've even seen people joking that Wilson's wife was the first woman president in the United States. Well, if so, sorry, ladies, it's starting off on an unconstitutional note. But
she
that's
was unconstitutional.
No surprise. You know, the real controller of that White House would not have been his wife. It would be either Colonel Edward House or other financial
shadow advisors. Well, so this is how this went down. Earlier in the year 1919, Wilson got the flu,
which they once again denied. Sound familiar?
Then in September, he was out on a speaking tour, actually garnering support for the incredibly unpopular UN predecessor League of Nations, and he collapsed in the middle of his speaking. And then a week later, suffered a serious stroke that permanently paralyzed the left half of his body and blinded him in that eye. And so he was bedridden for months, and even after that, he was in a wheelchair. And during that whole time, Edith was running things. She was looking over matters of state. She was doing all kinds of stuff. And by 1920, his mental health had started deteriorating, and his memory was declining.
Which they once again denied. Sound familiar again?
And she continued acting as unofficial president, which is a fact. This is all on record. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact that has gone down in the history books, and this was kept secret from the American people until after Wilson's death, which was years after his second term ended. And the people behind Wilson were even considering running him for a third term, which was still allowed at the time. They were going to still run him. I guess that, it was going to be at Wilson's type of situation going on.
If you hadn't figured out I was a puppet president by that point, it definitely would have been had that occurred. So,
despite the fact they were lying to everyone. So they were lying to everyone, completely unconstitutional, pretending he was in charge. So the whole thing is unconstitutional, but no one stopped them and it happened.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Right. So I guess the point we're making by bringing this up is, why would anyone today, 100 years later, think that what we're being told is what's actually going on in this White House? Why would they tell us, the American people, jack shit about this? They didn't tell us anything 100 years ago. Why all of a sudden would they want to tell us now?
And who's pulling Biden's strings? I mean, Biden's biggest critics and detractors have been calling out his lack of presence for years now, and the conspiracy theories have circulated, which look more and more as if they had a grain of truth the whole time, don't they? I mean, there's empty suits and then there's empty suits. And again, the dignity of the human being and the individual, yeah, give them the proper treatment, but let them retire in dignity and deal with whatever their medical situation is outside of the ring of power. I mean, that's not where someone who's out of their mind and unable to function belongs, clearly.
People are wondering who the hell is actually running anything right now. Like, who's actually running things? I've seen a lot of theories on that. But you have Rep. Thomas Massie coming out and saying, how can the Democratic Party argue that Joe isn't fit to be candidate for someone who's going to be in office 6 months from now, right? But maintain he's totally fine to continue being in office running things right now. When you have one of Biden's younger brothers, Frank, just got done telling the media he hopes to enjoy, quote, whatever time we have left with the president.
CBS News had a brief conversation with Frank Biden, one of President Biden's two younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left.
And people are already speculating, of course, and by the time this video is published, we may know. I mean,
right?
This narrative may change very quickly, and I don't feel like they are going to let it hang on that question for long, because they've exposed themselves on that. And something else is taking place. Kamala Harris is getting her shot, or someone else in the Democratic Party. I mean, this is weeks away from the convention. And we just saw what happened with Trump days before the Republican convention. Things are just very strange.
Literally
this
days,
is not
like
a normal election year.
It's like I took the wrong week to quit drinking.
And it's always a circus, but this is something beyond.
Well, so today the White House just effectively canceled Joe's entire schedule for the week, or at least they canceled everything for today and said it's TBA. And you have Kamala. We just got in being told suddenly also today received enough non-binding delegates to become the new Democratic nominee for president in an election where they literally just keep saying how important democracy is.
As we begin this election year, we must be clear, democracy is on the ballot.
Until it comes to ousting their own nominee who overwhelmingly won each state. Now they got to get rid of them.
And, you know, it's a whole nother subject. I don't want to get too much off on a rant, but the idea of political parties and their primary so-called elections is very deceptive. It's a house of cards that appears to be democratic or pseudo-democratic, but is it? It's nowhere in the Constitution, these political parties and the procedures they have. They're basically private organizations appearing as though there's a democratic election underway. People take part in it, but The votes are non-binding. All the rules with the delegates are confusing at best. And you can see when push comes to shove, they can shut candidates like Ron Paul out of the primaries. Bernie's votes won't count. And now, you know, Kamala's going to get these magical non-binding delegates after everyone in the country voted,
super delegates whether they wanted
Biden or not. So at the end of the day, the final general election in November may be more or less constitutional, hopefully. But the selected candidates appear elected, but are they really? It's fishy.
Anyways, she's on the phone with Joe.
I knew you were still there. You're not going anywhere, Joe.
Oh, I'm watching you, kid. I'm watching you, kid. I love you.
I love you, Joe.
And the whole point of this call seems to be so people will hear him say that he endorses her, because no one's seen him in days.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
And it is my great honor to have Joe's endorsement in this race.
And this phone call is so weird. It's such a Weekend at Bernie's-esque phone call where she's saying things like, it's so good to hear our president's voice.
It is so good to hear our president's voice.
And then almost calls the phone call a recording and stops herself in the middle of the word recording.
Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been talking every day.
Joe, I know you're still on the call.
Something it's good to know right you're there. Still on the recall. I mean, phone call, because this is a phone call. You know, because we definitely don't have AI voice software or, I don't know, soundboards they use to make. Remember, like, that was years ago. They had those soundboards where they make it sound like famous people are making prank phone calls. Remember that?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Okay.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Well, and I mean, I guess that's where I've always seen everything with the White House as a stage show, and I don't understand why they don't get better actors who can act serious and dramatic.
I mean, at least memorize her lines and don't say, record a phone call.
It looks so phony. There's something very off and suspicious about this.
The whole thing is just, it's devolving and unraveling like when a clown car is in a cartoon going down a hill and just the wheels start flying off. It's crazy. This is crazy. And the thing that finally got us to, well, at least it persuaded me to start talking about it. I didn't want to talk about any of this stuff anymore. But the reason I am is because now all of a sudden, out of the blackest, squelchiest pits of the political abyss nightmare that I feel like the Lynchian loop I feel like we're living in. 10 years ago, Aaron and I made a video, Not Ready for Hillary, listing out in great detail so many things. And we didn't even get conspiratorial. We just talked about the things that were on record. And now all of a sudden, there's as soon as it was announced that Joe was endorsing Kamala, immediately after that, the very next piece of news I saw was Hillary is endorsing Kamala. And then all of a sudden, it was like, well, is Hillary going to be the new vice president? Because here's what happens. If Joe resigns for whatever reason, he's too sick to continue going on or he passes away, whatever happens here, if Kamala moves from VP to president, then as per the 25th Amendment, she gets to nominate her own vice president. There's no election there. So maybe Hillary is like Nelson Rockefeller, and that's the only way she can get her ass into the White House is to, you know, be just put there without an election. Because if there's an election, people won't let her anywhere near it, just like they didn't want Nelson Rockefeller anywhere near it. Because this, all that has to happen is what? House and the Senate have to confirm her. That's it.
It's just
no
a confirmation,
vote.
Which rarely comes to a head. I mean, a lot of people don't remember, but Nelson Rockefeller ran for president multiple times and tried to become the Republican nominee, but it went nowhere because his family is like the epitome of the greedy, wealthy, barren family of America. And ordinary people, I don't think, just saw him as representing their views. So he never could get elected to highest office, but he didn't give up, did he? And a special situation occurred as a result of Watergate. You know, Spiro Agnew had been kicked out of the vice presidency. Gerald Ford appointed to replace him. And then when Richard Nixon stepped down,
therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
There was this vacuum created where Gerald Ford, unelected president, could appoint Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, totally unelected. And then he was one heartbeat away from not only being president, but being the unelected president. I mean, it's a special situation.
Well, so apparently was President Wilson's situation. And so apparently is whatever's going on right now in the Biden White House, which absolutely do not think we are being even remotely told about. So I don't know, guys, but last night I woke up from a dream. I was in some weird, gigantic house, and there were these rooms that had all kinds of historical memorabilia, and I heard some banging sounds, and I was running to the window to try and see what they were, and because I thought it was somehow gunshots maybe or something, I couldn't really tell. When I got to the window, in the distance, in the dark, I saw a mushroom cloud. I actually had a dream about a nuclear detonation last night, and I wake up and all of this stuff is going on. And I don't know. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I can feel it. I feel it. This is about to get a much bumpier ride. I think everyone needs to buckle their belts.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Something big is under. I mean, to me, it's a coup within a coup. There's a major transfer of power happening on multiple levels. At some point, we need to get into what the technocrats are up to and the people they have representing them in this system. But
what can be unburdened by what has been.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
We've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
So the importance of community banks is they are, as they are called, they're in the community, led by members of the community.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Unburdened by what has been.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence.
Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
And we run around with these signs, build more schools, less jails. Build more schools, less jails. And we walk around everywhere. Build more schools. We protest. Build more schools, less jails. Put money into education, not prisons. There's a fundamental problem with that approach, in my opinion.
I'm going to sound the same warning now that I have been for years, going all the way back to 2020 when both Kamala and I were running for president on the Democratic ticket. She is unfit and unqualified to be our president and commander-in-chief, and would be incredibly dangerous in that position. Everything you've heard me say about Hillary Clinton, the queen of warmongers, can also be said of Kamala Harris. There should be no question in your mind that if Kamala is allowed to be our president and commander-in-chief, she'll be the maidservant of this queen of warmongers, the head of this elitist cabal of warmongers that has gotten us into this place. They're the ones who've been calling the shots behind Joe Biden's presidency. They would continue to call the shots if Kamala Harris is president. And where have they led us? To the brink of war with multiple countries in all parts of the world, and closer to the brink of nuclear war and Armageddon now than ever before.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
I mean, I feel like they're targeting the office of the presidency itself. I thought that when they posted, was it the Economist article?
It was the Economist article.
And it had the walker for old people with the President of the United States seal on it. And yeah, ostensibly they were talking about President Biden.
But he wasn't.
The question of whether he was fit to serve, whether he was too old. But really, esoterically, just under the surface, as I said in a post, it's really a question of whether the office of the president serves us anymore and what kind of system might possibly replace it. Well, there's some very powerful people who have ideas about that. And I think we're going to be seeing
why we should even have a president at all, right?
Absolutely.
So anyways, I think that's it for now. What do you think?
You know, I guess we'll all watch and see what happens. It's strange times for sure.
Strange times.